And I want to preach about you today a little bit. I want to encourage you. And I want you to understand it's the story of David taking down the bully Goliath. You know the story. But I want to look at some sub-stories. And I want you to understand I'm preaching to future ministry people. You're not here, I hope, to get an engineering degree. I know you got to take Greek and all that stuff. And you got to train for the ministry. I've been a dean of students at a college. I'm big in education all over the country here in Australia. At Papua New Guinea, we got a Bible college there. We have one down in Trinidad and Tobago. Help start these things. And it's really important that you get the right education. But the most important is this, that you have a servant's heart to go. Mordecai got after Esther. And he said basically, sweetheart, for such a time as this, God has got you here to do something. And she went and prayed. She got her heart right. And she changed the course of history. I mean, even into the book of Nehemiah. And I want to encourage you this morning and tomorrow morning and Friday, do more than just come to Ambassador Baptist Bible College. Do more than just take the courses. Actually answer God's call in your life. Some of us miss it. Some of us think we don't catch the whole thing that's going on. You know, by way of illustration, there was a charismatic preacher preaching. He's healing everybody. And he asked the church service, he was finishing up, who wants a miracle tonight? Get in line. Man, about 15 people lined up to get in line to come up front. And in the back was a line, and the line was a big guy, 6'8". His name was Big Ed. That preacher went through that other bunch of people and got Big Ed on the platform. He says, what's your name? He said, everybody calls me Big Ed. He said, you need a miracle? I need a miracle. What's your problem? It's my hearing. And he said, get on your knees. And he got on his knees and he grabbed him by the head and yammered around there, you know, and said, amen. Big Ed stood up and that charismatic evangelist handed him the microphone and tell the people about the miracle you just had. He looked down at that little preacher and said, well, I haven't had any yet. The hearing's not till next Wednesday at the courthouse. How many of you didn't see that coming? Yeah. A lot of you don't see what missions is because you think it's for someone else. But understand God has you in a position. He has you prepared. And He's going to touch your heart today, tomorrow. He already has this week. I talked to Brother Ed yesterday at length going down the road. And I want to be an encouragement and a help. And I want you to understand that God wants to use you in a great way. How many? I want you to catch that today. May Adam talk, Papa God, Bible belong me now. Is there anybody in here from Papua New Guinea? Anyone at all? No God, okay. Because I'm going to tell you a story about a man I'm going to call Walker. He's alive. He's breathing. He's got a 21-year-old girl, and a 19-year-old girl, and a 17-year-old girl. And he's been in the jungles of New Guinea since he ran into me several years ago. I just want to make sure that's not his real name, but I'm going to call him Walker because he's in the ministry today. I preached at a service like this, and he listened. And this was 20-some years ago, and he came forward. And he gave his life to the Lord. Now, he looked like the smallest. He weighed about 110 pounds. He looked like the president of Geek Squad, if you imagine what a guy would look. I mean, this guy just didn't look like he had it all together. His glasses was too big for his head. His pants were too big for his body. But he came forward in the service, and he said, I need to talk to you. And I listened, and I said, do what God's will is in your life, and we'll see what will happen. And I kind of fluffed that off. And I was preaching in New Guinea in 2012. He'd already been in the country 12 years, and he walked up to me. Still skinny. He's aged. No shoes. A backpack. And he said, hey, Pastor Dan, God answered your prayers. I've been here 12 years. And he said, I walked 4 days, sold my shoes to ride the bus or the truck, the PMV, 2 hours to get to town here to hear you preach this week. He said, everywhere you go, tell them it works. It works. But they have to step up. They can't hold back. So let's take a look at this today, and I want to encourage you, because you are a gold mine. You're God's future. Don't waste that. Don't throw that away. Don't just go through the motions. I'm setting the table. Thy servant will go. We got a lot of talkers in this room and where I preach, but we have very few walkers. That's the difference. It's not about intelligence. We need the education. It's not about my birth line or how many years my papa's been doing this, my mamaw's been doing that. It's what God's done to your heart right here. We're going to look at a teenager today that said, thy servant will go. And God used him to save a nation. But God used him to set a path for the rest of us in here. And I hope and pray when I'm done today that God Almighty will touch your heart to be that servant to say, here am I, Lord, as Dr. Comfort prayed, I will go. Not send somebody else. Or not let me set. Let me think about this. Let me manipulate the narrative till I'm about 35. No. You need to get on the edge of your seat, and we get done with this message today. Say, here am I, Lord. Get this thing dedicated. Quit gerbiling in the middle of preparation. Get that thing focused. Start tracking that thing. There's older students here I've watched. I watch students. I watch your body language. I watch what you do. And I always, one of the first questions I ask you here is, what church you go to? What are you doing there? What are you going to do there? What's your goals? I got all these questions because I'm watching your tracking. When I hear the hum, well, I don't know. What are you talking about? I understand I'm talking to someone that has, they look like they know what they're doing, but they have no idea. Amen? They don't understand what's really happening. So first of all, let's take a look at this today. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. And the Bible says in verse 32, and David said to Saul, and we're going to be all over this chapter, let no man's heart fail because of him, that's Goliath, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. You know, and I want you to understand, he says, let no man's heart fail him. Why? Because of him. That's Goliath. Thy servant will go. You see, David had a determination to fight Goliath. And I want you to understand, I'm going to give you two thoughts today. Why was the recruitment not answered by all the soldiers? And why did David answer the call of recruitment? I'm recruiting missionaries today. Church planters, pastors, evangelists. Now, I'm not going to hide the thing. That's what I'm after. Amen. I don't care if you go with BIMI or not, or Macedonia, or Word for the World, or whatever organization's represented. That's not what I'm after. I'm after you to step up and say, here am I, Lord. Where's that sling? Where's those stones? I'm going to throw down on that giant in just a moment. Now, I want you to understand this. Number one, I want you to catch the thought that for 39 days, this giant had come out in the Valley of Elah. And he had yelled at God's people, the God's soldiers. And Saul said, look what he says in chapter 25. He makes this statement. The men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? They're talking to David, surely to defy Israel. He's come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. I mean, old King Saul was trying to find somebody to take on this giant. 39 days in a row, he come out and called out God. He called out God's people. David's brothers was there. All those three brothers, and they didn't really like David because he was the pipsqueak of the bunch. But I want you to catch this. If you take down Goliath, you get all the money put in your bank. How many of you guys would like to have all the money you ever wanted put in your bank? The rest of you need to wake up because you're going to need that, all right? Money's not the main thing, but money is part of it. Amen. How would you like to me walk in here today and say, I'm going to fill your bank account up till the day you die? Thank you, Isaiah. Good man. Judah, no more work. Yeah. Now watch this. Secondly, you get to marry the king's daughter. Boys, that means you get some perks. Amen. You get double miles on that credit card. Amen. And I mean, you got the parking spot. You got the signet. You got the cat. You got everything. You're in the king's clan. And thirdly, this is what mom and dad likes. You never have to pay taxes anymore. When it says you'll be free in Israel, that means you're tax exempt. Hello, Dolly. Amen. Isn't that great? How many of you folks in here would never want to pay? If you could, you'd never pay taxes again. Look at that. All right. Okay. Who has to pay taxes every year? All right. How would you like to pay them I won't get into it. Let's move on here. David went to the battle. He's just a teenager, showing up with some bread, some cheese, a servant, got some stuff to drink, going to give it to his brothers, going to give some money to the army there to make sure they got enough for the other soldiers. As David's watching this, he sees this big giant come out and yell and scream and defame the name of God. And David basically says, why don't somebody go out there and shut that guy up? Oh, you don't know, man. He's big. He's a monster. But old King Saul's come out and tried to recruit us. Ain't none of us worth taking. I ain't taking that guy on for any guy's daughter. I ain't taking that guy on for all the money in the bank. And mom and dad said for me to take him on. They don't have to pay taxes anymore. But I ain't doing that either. No, he's just too big. So I understood a whole army, as I read this, will not answer the call to take on Goliath. But when David heard it the first time, he said, let no man's heart fear or be afraid of what you're looking at. Thy servant will go. So let's take a look at this. Number one, why they did not answer the call recruitment. You may want to write this down because some of you think this way. I've got missionaries. I've got friends. I used to think this way. I try to calculate it out. Number one, I want you to catch this. They spent too much time in enemy assessment. They thought Goliath was too big to fight. Now, I want you to see this. Look at verse chapter 17, verse 4, how they were calculating this. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines. Oh, he's their champion. He's the WWE, he's the big man. He's a champion named Goliath of Gath. Height was 6 cubits and a span. I don't know, about 9 foot tall. That's about up there where those flags are, I think. He's a big boy, all right? Of course, I'm a short guy. That might be 10 feet. I don't know. But he had a helmet of brass upon his head. And he was armed with a coat of mail. I had to tell my daughter, that's not mail in the post box. Because she said, why would he be wearing letters? That's not what that means, all right? This is for you blind-headed girls, this is a metal-type coat. You know, it's like, body armor. Now watch this. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had graves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. He had armor all over him. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his 8, 9, maybe 10 foot long, I don't know, thing weighed a lot. And his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. That stuff was so heavy, he had to have a guy carry his shield for him. This was a big boy. And I brought him up with this thought. You know why most of us do not answer the call of recruitment? Because we got that what they say in the book of Genesis, that grasshopper vision. Remember what they said? In the eyes of the giants, we are grasshoppers. How did they know that? They never talked to the giants. They never saw what they looked like in front of those giants. It was a heart thing. And I want to tell you today, number one, these soldiers never answered the call recruitment because they thought he was too tall. They thought he was too big. They thought he was too strong. And he'll kill us. He'll defeat us. All the money in the world, all the girls in the world, all the tax-free life in the world. There is no way. No way am I going to take this on. It's not worth it. My life's more important. No one's told you this. When you give your life to Christ, not only to get saved, but you hear, say, I'm here for service after God cleans you up and sanctifies you. You know, you're giving your life to Him. Amen. I think that went over your head. You give your life to Him. That's the way it should be. With no reservations, with no retreats, with no regrets. You know, say, get on the edge of your seat. You're going to make a decision today. You're going to sit, I'll just sit right back here because I'm not going to jump out there. Because, you know, I don't know what the future is. I mean, you know, I mean, there's a lot out there. Yeah, the Goliath's too big. He's too strong. He's too wide. Man, ooh, he'll just make mincemeat of me. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. Amen? But you're God's. And you're in God's army. And God has saved you. And God has put a servant's heart in you like David. And you say, here am I, send me. But Lord, can you take the giants? Can you part the Red Sea? Can you get all that taken care of before I get out there? His name was Walker. That's what the national pastors call him. When I met him, he was no bigger than you two boys there. I think you're twins. But I don't think you are you? But he's about your size. A lot skinnier. I mean, he was maybe 100 pounds of wet socks. He had not much going on. He came up to me and said, Brother Dan, I think God's called me to Papua New Guinea. What do I need to do? Come over there and get dirty for about a month. He came over there, didn't have any money. I pointed him in that direction and he went. And I thought, he ain't going to last. He came back, he missed his flight home three weeks later. We couldn't find him for 3 months, and he came out of the bush. And God had got a hold of his heart. As I took him to the plane to fly back to the States, he said, "I need to get a wife, and I believe God's called me here." I said, "How do you know?" He says, "You just know." And I got this have to in me. "Where are you going to go?" "Way out there." Good night. The mosquitoes out there, they use them to bring the air mail in. They're so big. There's nothing out there but this little village. He said, "But God's called me there." He said, "Brother Long, you preached a few years ago, and I heard you say this. You said, it's not that I have to come back from Papua New Guinea, but," he said, "I have to go." God's put that have to in me. There's no cost in how big that giant is. Second reason why they didn't answer the call of recruitment is this. They would not answer the call of recruitment because they thought they're already involved. How do you know that, preacher? Great question. Look at chapter 17, verse 2. Look what it says. And Saul's sitting there on his horse. I can see him. Jonathan's beside him. "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines." Boy, they got this like, how many's ever seen a battle board? Where you got the, you know, you got the boat, you know. You've ever played Battleship, you know, you can't see, but you got it all laid out there. And I want you to catch this. So they got the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and the Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So they're standing there looking at each other. All right, day one, day two, day three, day four. And right now nothing has happened. Except every day this loudmouthed giant comes out in verse 4 and just shams God and all of Israel. Drop down to verse 20:19 and tell me what's happening. Same chapter. "Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting the Philistines. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep and the keeper and took the went and as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight." Nobody's left the trenches yet. "And shouted for the battle. Then out stepped Goliath." Everybody stayed in place, right? Set for the battle in verse 2. In the valley ready to fight, verse 19. Verse 23, the giant comes out. Let's take a look at verse 24. Look what happens here. I want you to catch this. "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." There's no fighting going on. They're just posturing. When you're at Bible college, you're preparing for the ministry. You also should be in all the local churches in the area working in the ministry. All God's people said? Amen. I know you do that, all right? I did it in my school. If you're not going to do it here, you're not going to do it there. But these guys all look good. Man, they got the battle uniforms on. They're standing there. They got their spears. They got that King James Bible. Hey, they got them Sunday school lessons. Hey, they got that discipleship. Hey, they got that horn. Hey, they got that organ. Hey, they got all this down. But when it's time to step out in the ministry, when the devil bares his teeth, when it's time to say, "Here am I, I'm going to step up. Maybe I'll wait. Maybe I'll wait." He's at Silent Words Ministries. He's gone to the Jews of New York. They cannot speak. He was been in a couple of my sessions. He'd been going to college for 12 years. And he said, "What do you think I need to do, Brother Dan? Get out of college. You've got your master's. You got your doctorate. You got your under. Get out there and just go." "Oh, I don't know. I just don't know." I said, "Trust God and see what happens." You know what that guy did? He started dating one of my single missionary girls. They got married and he took her from me. Now they're serving the Lord up in New York City doing a sign language prison ministry. All God's people said? Amen. Now he had all the education. But I said, "Son, get in the battle." Now his parents are missionaries in Papua New Guinea. I met them in the last February. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. I sat down to eat breakfast and these Tau butters, that's white skins in the language, sit down. They said, "You're Dan DeLong, aren't you?" I go, "Yep." "Our son, you told him to get a wife and get in the ministry and quit gerbiling in education." "Yeah," I said, "I don't say that to freshmen or sophomores or juniors or seniors or go in there. But you've got your doctorate and you're sitting around wanting more doctorates. You need to get out there and serve God." Well, he did that. Guess who he's going to marry? One of your missionaries. That's good. I hope he comes with BMI. No, he's going to go with this other. Oh, with IFBM. He's with those guys. Here's my point. Get this. He actually jumped in the water. This is for you older students are here. Don't talk about it. Start walking into that. All God's people said. Now they thought they were in the battle, these soldiers. And you think you're in it here. But all these old teachers and these old people in the ministry, hey, once you step out there and start serving God, it's a whole different battle. Is that true? But God wants us to get in it. There's a third reason why they will not answer the call of recruitment. I want you to catch this with me. Third reason is this. The call of recruitment was, they were objects of low motivation. low motivation. What do you mean? Well, look at verse 24. The Bible says in my text that, hey, you can, all the men of Israel, they fled. And they could have got all the money in their account. They got the king's daughter. Never have to pay taxes in verse 25. It's laid right out there. But that is low motivation. Amen. Where should our motivation come from? I'll tell you in just a few minutes when I go on David's side. I want you to catch this. That says they all fled. The money, the marriage, and all the tax-free things in the world does not make a man's heart do what God wants it to do. I want to encourage you with this. You think with a faith and a trust. That's the biggest thing for between failure and success in any ministry. You have to trust God. And you older preachers in here, and some of you pastors have been through some cut-ups, and you've been through some hard times, and God took you through that. Tell me you're not a better person for that. You're much better, amen? And you young students got to understand this. God will put a have to in you that you have to answer that call. You got to quit counting the cost. It's already been paid for you. God said, I will take care of everything, every need you'll ever have, but you need to step out and step up. And whether it's a giant or whether it's a lion or whether it's a bear, God will work mightily in you. Watch this now. On you and through you, for you, and to lift him up. Amen? Keep that in mind. Second thought, and I'm going to close. Why did David answer the call of recruitment? You know, I asked Walker last year when he was there to hear me preach. Before I came back here, I was over in New Guinea before they ran us out. And he came to hear me preach. And when he told me how poor he was, and he was honoring God with that, and no shoes, I gave him a pair of my shoes. I felt bad. And then I called five or six of the national pastors there in Moresby. And I told them the story. And they took him his airplane flight back. They bought him 6 months worth of supplies. They had another plane behind his plane to haul it in to a little airstrip. And he said, I'll see you in a year. Okay. And he came out this last 2 weeks ago, the pastor said that thought I was preaching a revival there. They shut it down. He did not know there was a pandemic going on. I mean, he's unhooked. Amen. I want to encourage you with this. To have a man like that, I don't know if I could do what he does, but I'm going to honor him. We call him Walker for a reason. He's not afraid to walk for God anywhere. Why did David answer the call of recruitment? Number one, David realized God was the issue, not Goliath. Woo! See, in David's book, Goliath was not too big to fight. He was too big to miss in the fight. And you got to grab a hold of this. He had a heart for God, amen? Now, I know we have to use common sense, but I want you to catch this with me. Look at chapter 17 and verse 46 as I unwrap this for you. I want you to catch it here. It says, "In the day," David speaking, "this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. And I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord God saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Folks, God's got it waiting for you. You just have to step up and say, I'm going to do this. Why? Because I want you to catch this. It's God is at the heart of this, not you, not the enemy, not the people God's calling you to, not the ministry that God has for you. And I want you to understand, when David saw Goliath, it says this in Acts 13:36. David served his own generation by the will of the Lord. It was God's will for David to do this as they served his generation, as he served Saul before he became the king. He served God. He said, your servant's here. And the first thing I'm going to do, I did a lion and I did a bear. I'll talk about that in a minute. Now watch this Philistine. I'm going to take him down too. Why? Because God is in me. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You got to understand this. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't play with those little sins that so easily beset you. Say, here am I, Lord. Man, I'm laying all this aside. I know you all want God to bless you. Is that true? You want to be a blessing to God? True? So what you have to do is understand that God is the issue, and it's bigger. You're part of that issue, and it's bigger than anything you're going to face. And David understood that at this time, and he served his generation because it was God's will. God wants you to serve this generation. Going down the road, I'm long in the grave. We're all long in the grave as older folks. You're still going to be plowing those fields. You're still going to be walking forward for Christ, but you need to start that journey now. I'm a servant. He didn't say a slave. I'm a servant. I'm doing this for you. There's no price to it. Number two, I want you to catch this, why he answered the call recruitment, because he had a servant's heart. Look at verse 32. I got ahead of myself a little bit there, but I want you to catch this verse 32. Look what it makes a statement. It says this, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Verse 34, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. I want you to understand this. David knew that God was going to take care of David. David had been through some things. And folks, I want you to catch this. Not only did David do this because of a servant's heart, thirdly, he did this because of the past accomplishments. I could stand here for a week and tell you how God, in my stumbling and bumbling life, because I was right with Him, how He took care of things more than I could ever imagine. We've had over 10,000 people saved in Papua New Guinea in the last 5 years from the PNG Bible Project that God put on my heart and two other preachers' heart back in 1999. I want you to understand that's big. Yet the churches have quadrupled, and even churches are running 100. They're running 400 now. It's coming out. It's not about numbers. It's about people. But God's opened that country up from three or four people praying 15 years ago for God to do something in us, through us, so we could stand up and say, here am I, Lord. We want to do something for you. And I want you to catch this. David had a servant's heart, but he'd seen God accomplish great things in his past. The paw of that lion, the paw that bear, the heartburn his brothers gave him every time he spoke. They were very dismissive to him. You think about it. You understand it. God has got you here today for a reason. He's got you here in this school preparing you for this year. We were in this missions week. What is this all about? I'm after getting future servants of God to step up and say, this is more than just going to school. This is more just listening to the preaching. Today is my day of dedication. I am going to do this. And you know the lions, those lions will show up. Them bears are going to come out. Don't you flinch. You stay right there. God's got you right there for a reason. Even a giant or two will come out at you. But I'll tell you what, God will give you victory every time if you go after it instead of running from it. You got to understand this. On the edge of your seat, you got to go after this. And the last thought is this today. Why David answered the call of recruitment is because he had an opportunity. Verse 46, he had an opportunity. The Bible says here that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The Bible says in verse 48, it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came drew nigh to meet David. David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag, took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. And he fell upon his face to the earth. He bowed to God that day, didn't he? Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. And he smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. What a teenager. I'm going to get him. But I didn't finish the job. But you know what? When you're doing what God puts in your heart to do, He gives you some thoughts. So he just took that giant sword and he got ahead that day. Amen. That'll sink in. Great victory. Then the enemy ran. Can you see? The army of Israel. Whoa! He did bow down. He's on top of him. He's pulling that big giant sword. Oh, he got his head. He's holding it up. Whoa! That might be a little gross for some of you younger people. But that head got him the taxes free for the rest of his life. Until he got in trouble with Saul. Bank account got filled up. And he married a girl that gave him heartburn the rest of his life. I'm just saying. I want you to catch this with me. David did not do it for the girl, for the money, or the taxes. He did it for God Almighty because he had an opportunity. You think about God coming to you and God talking to you and the Holy Spirit touching your heart to actually do something for Him. Wow, what an opportunity. When I was in second grade, I wanted to play on the first string of the baseball team, but I was the smallest. They were picking teams. I was always last. Even Sandra Scott, you know, a girl got picked before I did because she could throw the ball further than any boy in a grade. How many ever wanted something so bad and you did not get chose for it? Okay. Now, I'm not talking about a blueberry Pop-Tart or a sandwich. I'm talking about a position or a person that you wanted to accept you. And David's just a teenager here. He's a boy. He's a young man. And he saw the opportunity. He was there delivering cheese and meats and things to his brothers. He's there paying the tribute to the army. He ended up getting 5 smooth stones. That day he got ahead. That day he got Goliath's armor and sword. That day he had a great victory. That day he got money in the bank. That day his family became tax-free. He had God's protection. He had God's blessings. He had a new home in Saul's palace. He had a new best friend named Jonathan. Whoa! Things really begin to happen when you step up and say, "Here am I, Lord. Thy servant will go." So you close your Bibles and I finish this message today. As I talked to Walker last year, been there 15 years. He's got my shoes on, got my sneakers on, got his backpack filled up with stuff. The planes are packed. He's getting ready to leave. He said, "Sir, can I do one thing?" "Yep. What you need? Anything." And he gave me a bear hug. He whispered in my ear, "Thanks. Thanks." And I backed off and said, "What do you mean? You got me started 18 years ago and you don't even know it. Thanks." He said, "I'm just starting. I think I got 15 more years out there." And he told me about his dreams. He told me about his plans. He told me he understood the purpose why God has him there. And I want to get it across to this student body today. God has something special for you. And you won't get there 30, 35 years down the road. And you'll turn around and look like we do and say, "God was in it. I wish I'd stepped up sooner, stronger, more sure. Thy servant will go." Now, who will start that journey with me today? It's about your relationship with God and God calling you in your life.